Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, here we go. Felger Maz on a Friday. We've made it to the end of the week, Anthony.
We have indeed.
It's agenda-free. That means we are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Still a little bit of a question mark.
Audi, good, very good.
Audi, any Audi. Got it. Okay, this is the deal. We talk about everything that we've hit on during the week or anything we haven't gotten to. It's up to you. We're agenda-free. We follow your agenda, ostensibly. That, you know.
In theory.
Always turns out to be a lie because we push our agenda as much as any other day, but we are driven by your calls. So, I have logged on. The hounds have been released. Your phone number is 617-779-0985. We'll get to you after we give some opening takes. Maz, Murray, who wants to go first?
Murray, go first.
No, I just sat down.
Fine, I'll go first, and I'll pick the obvious topic, which is Chris Sale and the Red Sox, who got their asses kicked last night in Seattle. 12-4, I think, was the final.
Yes, that was the final.
Honestly, like, you know, once it gets to about 10-4, I stop paying attention. So 12-4 was the final. Sale was all over the place. And I've heard a lot of discussion about this today already. I read a lot of stuff about it already, and certainly people are worried about Sale's shoulder, Sale's health. Did they sign the contract extension too early? All of which I will allow for being reasonable discussion. But I still don't think it's totally about the shoulder yet. Here's what I think people are missing. This is what they want him to be now in the early part of the year. He came out of the gate last year throwing 94 miles an hour. People forget. And I looked it up again this morning. His average velocity in the month of April of last year was 94 miles an hour. Last night, his average velocity was 93. He topped out at 95. Not that different. Last year, he was more effective in April. But even then, if you remember, going into basically June, Chris Sale, the Red Sox were 7-6 in his 13 starts. He was 5-3 with a 3.00 ERA. Now, those numbers are good for Sale, but they're not great. Then he had a bad loss to the Astros on June 1st. 6 innings, 4 runs. They lost the game 7-3. And you know what happened after that? Sale started throwing 97 again, and the averaged velocity of his fastball in June and July last year was 97. And then he got hurt. And so this is the problem. As I look at him and I say, can he pitch at 93, 94? You know, people talk about Sale, and this is the part that irritates me. Yeah, he's a pitcher. He can pitch at 92. He'll be fine. Can he? Do we know that? Because every time I see him pitch at this, he's not the same guy. He's okay. I mean, you might even say he's pretty good. Again, last year, 5-3, 3.00 ERA in the first 2 months. But he wasn't striking out 14.5 guys per 9 innings. He wasn't dominating and posting a 0.75 ERA over about 10 starts when he's thrown 97. He becomes a completely different pitcher when he tries to throttle it down. And so I think the Red Sox want him to try to learn how to pace himself so that he has more in the tank in August and September. And I don't know if this guy can do it. I think that's the story. Because I have a hard time believing that they can send him out to the mound with a bad shoulder on the first game of the year.
I can't believe they would sign him to that contract thinking he had a bad shoulder.
Right, exactly.
This is why I wanted him to wait.
So I don't think it's related to a shoulder issue that came up at the end of last year and then all of a sudden his velocity's not coming back. I don't think that's it. I think it's more of an issue of, can this guy pitch without being all out balls to the wall on every pitch? Can he do it? And I don't know if he can. And this is going to be the problem going forward.
Okay, there's Mass's opening take. Lines are open at 617-779-0985. Murray.
And we never got around to this. I wanted to address Arizona Cardinals rookie head coach Cliff Kingsbury telling reporters at the owners' meetings earlier this week he's going to have cell phone breaks for players. He's going to have cell phone breaks for players every 20 to 30 minutes during team meetings, right around the time he sees players' attentions waning. Here's the money quote. You start to see kinds of hands twitching and legs shaking. And you know they need to get that social media fix. So we'll let them hop over there and then get back in the meeting and refocus. They need to get that social media fix. They need. This is it, Felger. This is the story in sports that truly made me realize I'm an old man now. Because it instantly filled me with white-hot rage. Like, this is the one. This is where I realized I'm old, and it solidified my theory. We're living in the dumbest time in human history. Thank you. Grown men need cell phone breaks because if they can't look at them for an extended period of time, it's going to fill them with stress and anxiety. They need their cell phone fix. They need it. Tough. I don't care if it's a real problem. Tough. Stop bending over backwards. This is a bigger societal problem. Stop bending over backwards to make everyone happy at work. And in life, stop it. You want to use your stupid phone? Pay damn attention during the meeting, you stupid babies. Go look at after, when the meeting is over. You starting to freak out because you can't slide into the DMs of some Instagram ass model you're trying to hook up with? You can't monitor how many likes you got on your stupid last post? Tough. Pay attention at work, you stupid babies. Cliff Kingsbury's an idiot for doing this, for one. And he's already proven to me with this, he's going to fail in the NFL. It's called work for a reason, you stupid babies, because you're there to work, you stupid babies. Not there to screw off and stare at Emily Ratajkowski or whatever ass model it is on Instagram so you can get the quick endorphin hit. So, oh, there it is. Ah, I got my fix. What, boss? Huh? What now? Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. I had to look at this girl's ass. I'm trying to hook up with her. Huh? What team are we supposed to get ready for? Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. This is a joke. He's an a-hole. And by the way, there was precedent already set by this in a coach by the NFL, in the NFL. Do you know who it is?
No.
Jim Tomsula. He implemented the same thing with the 49ers when he took over as head coach in 2015.
Glad I didn't know. How would I ever know this?
Yeah, because he lives under a bridge now.
Exactly.
He got fired, and it was a disaster because he tried to be a player's coach. This won't work, and I'm mad talking about it now. I can't believe this is a real thing. These type of player's coaches, only one has really worked, and that's Pete Carroll, and you can even argue that. These players' coaches don't work. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. He's going to fail. I hope he fails. Just show up and shut up and do your jobs.
Jim Tomsula. Yeah, you guys can look at your phones now.
That's the guy. All right, so there's mine. I think we should circle back to the Celtics a little bit today because we haven't really hit on them the last couple. They're back at it again tonight.
Biggin. It's a biggin.
Indiana. Have you given up on the team? Have you still given up on the team?
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Is there anything that can sort of sway you?
Sure.
Yeah. How about if they sweep these two games against the Pacers?
And if they do it in convincing fashion, like, show me. Yeah, show me.
What, it has to be convincing fashion?
Indiana's not that good.
Well, if so, fine, tonight. But
better
then they go,
than you.
Then they go on the road next week and win in Indiana. That doesn't show you something?
Mm.
Do they have the ability to flip the switch and be that team, to be the LeBron teams? Because you now have mini LeBron.
No.
Nope.
They don't?
No.
Nope.
Not to flip the switch and be the LeBron team because Kyrie's not LeBron. But I told you, like with the Celtics, the story is over and over again. It's going to take something significant for them to completely sway me. But the Indiana games are like the most significant thing they have right now. So I hear you. Go ahead.
Well, so no, I mean, that's, I mean, if you have these designs on keeping Kyrie Irving and this whole thing, this is sort of the last ditch, right? This is the last chance you have at it.
Custer's last stand.
And it really is. And I think it kind of starts with these Indiana games. I mean, if you get, you should beat the Pacers, but if you don't have home court, I don't think that's a guarantee. And given the way this team operates, if you start on the road in Indiana and go down 0-2 and come home, I mean, don't you think it's entirely on the table? They just shut it down because they've sort of shut it down in the regular season.
Oh, yeah, it's totally on the table.
If Kyrie's got one foot out the door, 0-2 coming home, I mean, I don't know. This has not been a very resilient team. So I think getting home court's kind of important. That kind of starts tonight.
Kyrie disagrees. He's fine. Just get in. 5 seed. NBA seeding, Mike, in the playoffs doesn't matter.
I don't know, but I... I mean, I don't know how your confidence can be very high, but if you're holding out any hope, I think, you know, Custer's last stand, very good, begins kind of tonight. I just, as a road team, oh, God.
They'll get down by 20 tonight. Kyrie will be like, you know what? My knees bother me. I'm going home.
Okay, let's see. Let's see. And another thing came out this week that I just wanted to hit on as well. I'm sure you saw it. ESPN recently polled league executives and coaches and asked them to rank these four players from the 2017-18 rookie class using a point scale. And here's how they, and it was the top four players in the draft, right? Simmons, Mitchell, Tatum, Fox. And here's how, and not necessarily in that order. I mean, that's not how they were taken, right? It's just they wanted you to rank those four players. And if you could redraft the league or rank them in four categories, what would they be? And here's how they tallied. Simmons, number one. Mitchell, number two. Tatum, number three. And Fox, number four. So Tatum was not the resounding player in that draft. In fact, he was number three. And he was number three by a pretty healthy margin behind Ben effing Simmons. So how do we account for this? Donovan Mitchell, I might give you.
I mean, Donovan Mitchell's been a good player.
Yeah. So, Mitchell, I think you can, yeah, certainly.
How does Ben, so, I mean, like, there's two parts to this story.
Well, you know what the answer is on that.
Okay, so, there's two parts. One is, have we overrated Tatum?
Possibly,
Boston overrated another one of their players?
Quite possible.
We've been doing for years, okay, with this current run of Celtics. We just overrated all of them. The Bridges, we overrated all those guys, and we overrated Tatum along with everybody else. But then what's the thing with Ben effing Simmons? And I'm sorry, Maz, what's the answer?
Okay, I think the answer is that it's the body. It's the potential. They see Simmons and they say, when he learns how to shoot, he's going to be unstoppable. That's what it is.
Okay. When is he going to learn how to shoot?
Okay, so I'm not saying
he's starting from the ground up.
No, I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just telling you what it is. So I think because this is the problem in the NBA, right? In fact, it's a problem in all of sports that teams look at players oftentimes and they see the athleticism and they say, we can chisel that into a refined, spectacular product. And oftentimes you can't. So, but I think that's what it is with Simmons. That you got a 6'10 guy that can handle the ball and pass and rebound. And when he learns how to shoot, Mike, he's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to say that about Jordan or Magic Johnson, two guys who weren't great shooters when they came into the league. It's another thing to say it about, I mean, at least those guys could kind of shoot. They could kind of shoot.
Oh, Jordan could, yeah.
I mean, and they shot. This guy's afraid to shoot. This guy's afraid to shoot free throws at the end of games. That's why he's ditching the ball so quickly. It's a whole different thing. So I don't get the Simmons thing, but have we overrated Jason Tatum? Have we overrated Jason Tatum, Murray?
No, I don't think so.
But
actually,
you say you're hesitant.
I think we've been fair for the most part on Jason Tatum. I really do. Because people are critical about things that, you know, piss them off, like the always whining to refs since he's come into the league, taking too many fallaway jumpers because he's been working out with Kobe Bryant. But I think we fairly rated Jason Tatum. I really do. I think that.
I think we've overrated him a little. He's good. He's very good. I don't know if he's great. And I think people talk about him here like he's great.
Yeah, but you can see what the upside is, though.
Yeah, but is the upside a top five player in the league?
Top 10.
Okay, but I'm not even sure he's that. Like, and even so, I think people talk about him like he's a top five player in the league.
You bet.
And I'm not sure he is that. So now, is he a top, I don't know, 30 player in the league? Maybe. Yeah, probably. Once he, you know, polishes it up and gets a little older and understands it and all that. But I don't know if he's top five, top 10. I'm not sure he is.
Agenda Free Friday, off and running to your phones right after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Love it. I am one of those.
J.D. Martinez punches the ball to second base. And that'll do it tonight.
That was the Sox final call last night. We'll get to Chris Sale in a little bit as well. In fact, let's do it right here. Leadoff call with Matt in the car here on Agenda Free Friday. Go ahead, Matt.
What's up, Ward? No, I think it's actually a good thing that everyone's freaking out because, you know, baseball's back and people actually care. I know, Mike, you were talking about it a few months back about people not knowing, you know, spring training, data report. So I think that's good. Matt, I think it's awesome that, you know, you bring up the point about him not being able to pitch with the location because of his lack of velocity. And John Smoltz is a guy who, you know, made a second half of his career off being able to paint corners, but it is an adjustment. And one thing not to overlook, too, is Chris Hill's a guy who gets overhyped. So he had his first career playoff start. He got shelled. He talked about being overhyped. You know, you might have had a little bit to come into play with that, too, I think.
Okay. To me, it's the contract that gives the story a whole new weight.
Sure, of course.
I mean, think about it. If there were no contract, if there were no 5 years and 145, and he just went out and had a bad start, you'd say, yeah, oh my God, is his shoulder? You know, we'd still have that same sort of thing, but it'd be like, well, there's really no consequence. You're not on the hook. You haven't made a commitment. Maybe he's still not right or is a different guy, and they'll try and figure it out. Now it's like all those things, but you got him for another 6 years. Hey, oi. That's what gives you pause with that performance.
Well, sure. I mean, they just invested in the guy, and the thing is you would think that by now, all I'm saying is the Red Sox think there's a solution there that we can throttle back early in the year and be okay late in the year, and I'm not sure that's even there.
I'm with you, Maz. I don't think it's a shoulder because they're just going to ignore it if it's. It bothered him all off season, all training camp. They're just going to ignore it and throw him out there, and he's still like hurting. I don't think that's it.
See, I don't think that's it either.
I think they're trying to turn him into a different guy for preservation, exactly like you said. And he has to adjust to it. Maybe he can, maybe he can't, but that's what you're seeing last night.
See, and I don't know if he believes he can pitch that way.
I mean, it's scary. Was it 30 fastballs, not a single swing and miss?
Yeah, something like that. I know the number was low. The number of breaking balls he threw off speed is what I should say. The number of off speed pitches he threw was off the charts. So I didn't even look at the final totals because I just, you know, I could tell.
Sure. He threw 30 fastballs and did not induce a single swing and miss.
Yeah, because his fastball was 93 miles an hour, and it wasn't in a good location 90% of the time.
According to Shaughnessy's column, his average speed on 25 four-seamers was 92.3 miles an hour. Those two. I mean, the velocity.
Yeah. So, again, when I looked it up this morning, and there's a site that tracks at brooksbaseball.net that had him at 92.9, whatever. Let's not quibble over 6/10 of a mile an hour. But the thing is when he's throwing at that speed, I'm not sure he can control the ball the same way. Pitchers are weird like that. John Lester can throw 94 miles an hour and hit a corner. You ask him to throw 60 miles an hour to first base and he can't do it. Really?
No, it's true.
Like they're weird like that. And I think that this is the problem with this guy. They want him to be something he's not. And what he wants to be can't last. So you're stuck. You're stuck in the middle there. That's a problem.
AJ and Pembroke on Jason Tatum. Go ahead, AJ.
I wanted to go back to what you were talking about before the commercial break clear something up for me. Were you saying that was a reordering of the 2017 draft?
No, they were. I made it say this well. They just pulled league executives and asked them to rank four players from that draft, not necessarily redraft it. Fulton, Ball, and Dunn. You know, they just said. I think they just plucked the four best guys from that draft and said, "Give us the order." And the order was Simmons, Mitchell, Tatum, Fox.
Simmons was drafted in 2016.
Yeah, he was the year before, but he was a rookie in 2017.
Okay, so it wasn't the draft. Sorry, it was rookies. Again, right. Gotcha. I'm fumbling all around with it. But
he sat out his first year. Regardless, I think I'm worried that Tatum wants to be Kobe Bryant. He trained with him over the summer or whatever, or over the offseason, and he's in love with the jab step, the fadeaways, the mid-range game, and he's not as good as Kobe, and he's a high usage, low efficiency on those shots. So,
yeah,
makes me worried.
Is he just a one-on-one offensive player? I mean, what else does he do well?
Not a lot. His rebounding has gotten a little bit better this year. A little, not a lot.
Does he play D?
No. No, not with any kind of regular effort. No.
It depends on what kind of offensive night he's having. Because if his shot's not falling, then he stops playing defense. That's another thing that's real frustrating about
his
him.
His passing, I don't notice.
No, I don't notice his passing either. And he can get to the basket sometimes. Like, you know, I think that part of his game is going to get better. So I think he's going to be a scorer. He already is on some level, right? But the Kobe thing, if you're the Celtics, why would you ever let him work out with Kobe Bryant? Seriously, why?
Well, I mean, you think about it. The Celtics are being influenced by two of the biggest a-holes in basketball. LeBron / Kyrie and Kobe influencing Jason Tatum. I mean, he is an unlikable guy on the floor with the way he carries himself with the refs and everything. It's just painful.
Second year in the league, he acts like a 10-year vet.
Oh, my God. We've got Mike in Taunton for Maz. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, Maz.
Yes, Mike.
Yeah, you picked the Yankees yesterday, right?
I did.
Yeah, of course you did, because your boyfriend plays there. You dance like a little schoolgirl when he hits a home run.
I do, I love
him. You suck just like he does.
I love him. I do, I love him. I love Adonis.
It's a good call, Mike. How did Stanton do yesterday?
I know he had a couple of walks and a hit, and then they were up so much I stopped paying attention. So they were way ahead.
Okay, so what are the standings so far?
Yankees are one up. With 161 to go.
617-779-0985. Chris in Manchester, hi.
Hey, I'm just here to talk about the list.
Go ahead.
I honestly think Donovan should be number one. Like you said about Ben Simmons, and I think with the GM, they're pretty much just grading him for his defense, rebounding, and assist, but fourth quarter, he's nowhere to be found. And as for Jason Tatum, I think everything kind of changed when Morris and Smart got in the starting lineup. I mean, before it was kind of like the second option when he started off, but in some games, he's like the third or fourth option. And I've never seen a team sometimes that whoever's on and they go away from him. Well, I mean, the two games he had with Sacramento and even the beginning of that Cleveland game, he looked good when the offense started through him. But like you said, when the shots are falling, he ain't playing defense. And like unlike the other rookies, he's always constantly complaining. So I kind of would put Tatum at number two, but at the same time, I don't think he's overrated. I think it's...
Well, I'm just going to stop you.
Boy, that guy talked fast.
Yeah.
So overrated. But the opposite of their name is good.
Don't tell me they have Ben Simmons because of his defense or rebounding or passing or anything like that. The only reason they have a number one is the potential.
Yeah, the potential.
The size. He's already got the handle and the fluidity and all of that. You get all that. And if he can shoot, then he'll be dangerous because he can take you off the dribble and do all those other things. And if he can shoot, then you got something. But he's so far away from being able to shoot, it's not even funny.
Yeah, I agree. Look to me.
He can't even shoot close to the basket. His little quick shot, his little stuff around the basket, I think sucks.
So Simmons, there's a lot there to like. I mean, again, he's a great passer. He really is a great passer, which is why if I were them, I almost think about playing him at power forward. Dump the ball into him. Let him pass out of the post when he gets double teams. But to be able to do that, you have to shoot free throws because you're going to get fouled when you go to the basket, and he can't make them, at least not yet. But that's what it is. It's the size and skill combo that they look at him and they start drooling.
Do you think in any way this Tatum story helps the Celtics or helps Danny in that he's given him up for Anthony Davis and this sort of, you know, locally, I'm telling you that that locally it's a little message to the green teamers that, hey, he's not as good as you guys think.
Yes.
You know, he's worth giving up for a guy like Anthony Davis.
Yes. I think Tatum's stock has gone down this year. I would say at best it has stayed the same, but the reality is I think less of him as a player now than I did a year ago. Because you should see more efficiency in his game in the second year. Forget the point totals or anything else. But his game should be more efficient, and it's worse. It's more inefficient. Like, that's the part that frustrates me. He feels like the kind of guy that human, you know, Hoover sucks the ball up and that's it. You never see it again when it goes to him. It's over. He gets it and it's going up.
Right. This is why you don't notice him passing, because he doesn't. Andrew in Medford with the Red Sox thought. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hi, guys. How's it going? I just wanted to ask about Alex Cora. I love Alex Cora, but I think if anything could go wrong with the Red Sox this year as far as things on the field, I just don't see how Alex Cora could do everything right again this season like I did last season. It was like he was a freaking wizard last year. I just wanted to get your opinion on, you know, how good slash how lucky Alex Cora can actually be this year.
He wasn't as good as he showed last year. You're right, Andrew.
Like, nobody is.
I mean, that just came together beautifully. And so that can't duplicate. But I do think he proved himself. Like, I mean, I was worried about him, first year manager. And, you know, so I think that's off the table. I think the guy has a good pulse of his players and they respect him. And like that thing, I don't think goes anywhere. What I said, I have been saying, is I'm just curious. They never had more than a 3-game losing streak. They were in first place pretty much wire to wire. The last time they weren't was what we said it yesterday, like July 1st, you said, or something like that. They were never even really down in the playoffs. The worst was 1-1 versus the Yankees. When the pressure really ramps up, I mean, he has rabbit ears. Even with that, he had rabbit ears. He heard what people were saying and was sort of reactive to it. What happens when the Fellowship of the Miserable, which I know is not what it used to be, but we still get it a little bit. What happens when that thing, you know, what happens when they hit a 4- or 5-game losing streak and a player's sniping and now the media's on him, and how does he respond to all of that? I haven't seen that yet.
No, it's a good question. And I think that he will, you know, he's got some fire in him. I think we know that.
He does. And so that's it, right? He's not a guy that just is going to take that. He's going to hear it. And he's going to come right back. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. And like that whole thing.
I mean, Bruce Bochy with the Giants might as well be in a coma. You ever see that guy?
Yeah.
His heartbeat is at like 50. He's just, I mean, he moves in slow motion. He's one of those guys. You put him in a big market and he will be completely unfazed by it. The guy's just, again, he's like catatonic, for crying out loud. Cora's not like that. And Cora is feisty. So, you know, to me, this is one of the things that was sort of unnoticed about him when they brought him back, that there's an edge there that you don't necessarily see all the time. He will not like it. And wait until somebody in his clubhouse anonymously bitches about something. He will lose his mind.
Okay. Kind of looking forward to that. We have a Bruins Minute for you coming up next on Agenda Free Friday after Murray's update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
You're listening to Felger and Bass.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, I'm not a detractor. I think he's been a real good goalie for the Bruins. Played well last year against Tampa. Toronto was a little more of a run-and-gun series. I think both goalies had their moments where they're fishing pucks out of the net. But at the end of the day, you know, we're confident in him. And we're fortunate we got Yarrow, too. He's a terrific numbers. He's got a playoff resume. So we've got two to pick from. You know, if something, an injury or performance-related, we can go to the next guy. But, you know, Tuukka, I assume will be our number one going into the playoffs, or our game one starter. But I mean, between now and then, we'll sort that out.
Yeah, here's your Bruins Minute. I think down the stretch here, what, they got 4 or 5 games left? Really nothing left to play for. It's home against Toronto. That's pretty much going to be it. Like, they can't. I don't think Toronto has a realistic chance to catch them. So, yes?
No, I was going to say, which is why I think I don't want them getting into needless fights here over the last 5 games. And as far as it pertains to the goalie, like, even the way he says it there, he'll be our number one or, you know, game one starter.
So that comment stood out to me, as I have a lot with Cassidy and Rask. This is, I just want to set this up. I just want to say this before I get into this. This is not a segment where Felger is bashing Rask. I'm not, this isn't my commentary. I'm commenting on Cassidy's commentary. It is my belief that Cassidy is a Rask, I don't want to say doubter. He said, I'm not a detractor. That's how he started. Because I think, so how this all started, sorry, is after the Tampa game where, you know, Kucherov and Stamkos are lighting up, you know, lighting you up with howitzers like that. I don't think you could save that. That I thought a game that Rask really had very little to do with, really not to blame in that Tampa game. After the game, Cassidy comes out and says, we could have used a save. So I'm like, whoa, he's asking a lot of Rask, isn't he? And that is just sort of, so that's why he was asked the next day, you know, you sound like you're kind of critical of Rask or that you're doubtful of Rask. He says, no, I'm not a detractor. And then that's, you got the answer. I think he's tough on Rask. I think he's a doubter. I think that Cassidy is not completely sold on Tuukka Rask and is now with Halak having the year that, kind of year that he had, is more prone to go to Halak than any at any point we've had here in the last 5 or 6 years. And that's on the table. If Rask has a couple of games like he did last year against Toronto, I think you'll see Halak. And unlike last year, like for example, wasn't it game 5 here in Boston against, again, the Toronto Maple Leafs? You're up 3-1. And Rask let in all these, you know, you lost on a kind of a shootout. And what's his face? Khudobin came in. I think if that happens now,
Halak starts game 6.
Halak might get the next game. Like, it's going to be, there's more of a chance here that Cassidy isn't just going to sit there and ride Rask into the ground.
And for him to reference the playoff success from Halak, I mean, he helped that Montreal team, what, 10 years ago, basically get to the Eastern Conference Finals. There's precedent there. This isn't a career backup. So there's some confidence on his behalf to say, okay, the guy's done it. So if Rask sucks here, I'm going to pull him and put this guy in.
The only thing I disagree with you on this topic is that I don't think it stops at Cassidy. I think it goes higher.
Oh, I like it.
What do you know there, man?
No, I'm just telling you, when Neely talked to us at the Winter Classic, he said, well, you know, we need him to go on a run. He did it last year. We need to see this sort of thing. I think it's organizational. I think that's part of the reason Halak is here. I think they were all in agreement on it. I think they look at him and say, this guy, for whatever reason, hits a wall at 50 games or, you know, disappears on the big stage a little bit, maybe not entirely, but at times. And so, you know, we need a plan B. We need to be able to rely on somebody between the pipes if we're going to win this thing.
So the good news this year is that Rask is going to be in the mid-40s. He's got 43 starts right now, 43 games, 42 starts. He's going to be under 45, which is, okay, we can't have that excuse. It's not like, I think some of those years they felt, or, you know, the Rask defenders felt that there was no backup, so they had to overuse him. Although I don't see why 65 games is overuse if he makes $7 million a year. But, oh, well, okay, so they had some backup problems over the years. They had to use him a little too much. Now, not the case. 42 starts. He'll end up with 44 or 45. That should be the sweet spot right there. I mean, how much more rest do you need than that?
Well, you can't play any less than that and start in the playoffs.
Okay, so
because then you're number two.
Right, yeah, right, exactly. You're a platoon guy. So that you know, hey, look, they've had a good year. They're primed. They're playing well. It's a good team. They'll have home ice. He's rested. No excuses. There's no excuses if in the first round he and Frederik Andersen are the same guy. No excuse. That would be a joke. And as Cassie pointed out about Yaro Halak's playoff, I mean, Yaro Halak's playoff save percentage is .924.
Pretty good.
Mm. Tuukka Rask's career postseason save percentage?
.915.
.924.
No kidding.
Exactly the same. Exactly the same. And again, I think goals against is a little harder because that's dependent on your team. But Yaro Halak goals against career postseason is .239. Tuukka Rask is .227. So they're very, you know, I'm sorry, 225 for Rask. So they're very similar, guys. You know, statistically, they're very similar guys. Halak's older, but Halak, the one difference I've seen with Halak is that he stood on his ass and carried a team deep. I think that year that the Bruins went to the finals with Rask, that wasn't Rask, you know, leading them. He was good in some rounds, but it wasn't like he stood on his ass. And Halak that year with Montreal was freaking out of his boots.
Oh, no, he carried him, yeah.
So
he was the hottest goalie in the playoffs that year.
Halak does have that in him. Okay, so that's just one thing. That's just, you know, that's nothing we're going to determine here down the stretch. But just keep an eye on it, because Cassie just said that the other day. What you do want to see down the stretch, I do, is the lineup. I mean, between Johansson's back, Pastrnak lit it up with Krejci the other night. I think they should keep Pastrnak with Krejci. Again, Cassie after the game. Okay, Cassie went back and forth, or I don't know, maybe he just doesn't want to tip his hand, because before the game, it sounded like in some of the things that I heard him say that he wanted to see Pastrnak there. And then after the game, he's like, well, I don't know if that's going to last. So to me, it should give Krejci Pastrnak, and then it's Johansson or Heinen up with Bergeron and Marchand, and let's spend the next couple of games figuring that out.
Yeah, so I like the idea of depth. I mean, to me, you're better off with two good lines than one great one. And I don't know, last year against Toronto, that line did win the series, right? I mean, with Pastrnak, with those two, with Marchand and Bergeron, they were unstoppable. So maybe the logic is you go series to series. Maybe that's part of it.
To me, it's game to game, and if you're not scoring and you want to load up, then load up. But start with a balanced attack. Start with a balanced attack and give Krejci someone to play with, because you're not going anywhere with one line. You'll last a round. I mean, you can beat the Maple Leafs with a line, but you're not going to beat the Lightning with one line. So start that now and carry that into the playoffs. All right, there's your Bruins Minute. Back to your phones on Agenda Free Friday right after this.
The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Felger and Mavs.
I love it.
You were right, Mavs.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Oakland has traded the 42nd pick to New England. With the 42nd pick in the 2010 NFL drafts, the New England Patriots select Rob Gronkowski, tight end, Arizona.
Caught, touchdown, Gronkowski. His first career touchdown on a looping pass from Tom Brady from 1 yard out.
Brady, little pass to the near side, caught by Gronkowski, hit by, breaks a tackle, 20, down the sideline, the 10. He's chased to the 5, down the sideline, he somersaults over the pylon. It is a touchdown. He's like one of the flying Willendas.
Tom pumps. He throws down the middle for Gronkowski. Somehow makes the catch. Bringing it in with his left hand. An acrobatic play. And a catch to the Denver 1.
It's the play of the year.
Oh, my.
It is the play of the year. Freak show.
Yeah. We did good.
One more. I got 69 touchdowns, if you know what I mean. Only you know what I mean, baby.
My old message, Joseph Fiesta, baby.
Shotgun snap to Brady, dropping back, lobs a throw for Gronkowski, left side, makes the catch over two defenders, tumbling to the two, first and goal to go.
I just told you they're going to bleed him. The Rams, they can't line up. Brady sees it, and it's a 29-yard strike to the big boy.
And the Patriots
have won their sixth Super Bowl title. In the early 2000s, they won 3 of 4. Now they have won 3 of the last 5. Yes, it's still a dynasty.
I'll tell you this. It was the most satisfying year I ever been a part of. How we came together, the obstacles we had to overcome. You know, the grind from the beginning of training camp to now. It's just surreal. Just, you know, the obstacles, how we stuck together. You know, it was life. We went through life this year. And keep on going. Tom, you know we stuck together, baby. I love you, dog. And that's what we did. We stuck together, grinding, ran the ball. It was just unbelievable. And now we're Super Bowl champs. We're world champions.
Yeah, Agenda Free Friday, everything from the week. That's how the week started. The retirement of Rob Gronkowski. Jimmy's little montage there on Monday. So now the Gronk watch is on for his return. I think the piece to that story that everyone misses is Belichick's role in it. Like, Bill's just going to let this guy waltz back into camp whenever he wants.
I mean, I just can't imagine that happens. The only way is if Kraft overrules him.
Kraft and or Brady. And so that's happened before. And so, right, we'll see what that's like when the rubber meets the road, i.e., it's November. There, and this isn't a prediction, I'm just laying out the scenario. It's November, they're, call it 7-4, and the offense in so hot, and Brady's getting hit, and there's no one open, and Gronkowski wants to come back. Is Bill going to tell him no? Is Kraft going to tell him no? Is Kraft going to allow Bill to say no? If Brady and Kraft say, we're taking Gronkowski back, is Bill powerless? I think some of that has gone on down there the last year or so. But either way, if you said to me now, like, Bill is not of the mind to let players dictate when they play. He dictates when they play. So, again, in a vacuum, if this is just Belichick, he's not playing this game. Not playing this game. What, I'm going to sit here and be held hostage by Rob Gronkowski when he wants to come back? No dice. Tell me if you want to play or not. And I think he said it to him last week and forced his hand to give a decision. And so that was Gronkowski's decision. And you had heard that Bill's sort of aggravated by the whole thing.
Yeah, I had heard that down there in Foxborough, and I don't know if I said Bill specifically, but as much as they were, you know, they felt like Gronk strung them out. They strung them along, and that was it. And they get irritated by it. They're like, okay, here we go. You're just going to hold us hostage now, and we have to sit here and wait for you. And I don't blame them. I think they're right. I think Gronk absolutely screwed them. I mean, they could have had an extra $10 million, basically, to spend at free agency that they didn't have. Thanks a lot. See you later. And I just use common sense. Forget about what anyone hears.
But I'm telling you something. Can I just?
Yeah.
I blame the team a little bit too.
For what? Not putting pressure on him earlier?
Yeah, for letting him. You know, that ultimatum should have come 2 weeks before free agency so we know if we have this money or not. You know, they should have known that Gronk was likely or was, you know, there was a possibility that he was going to drag his feet. So make sure that you had an answer by the time it mattered.
So look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they couldn't have pushed it a little bit because they probably could have. Gronk acted like an a-hole last year. Bill wanted to trade him and someone got in the way.
Yeah.
So to me, Gronk was empowered. All of a sudden it sounded, well, we got to wait on Gronk. So I just had, because we know Bill. Again, that's why I say throw out what we hear or what we, just look at it. Last year, Gronk was a pain in the ass and Bill traded him. He had him traded and it got blocked. So now Bill's going to let him waltz back in November? Yeah, no problem?
I don't think so, but again, he doesn't run the show. The owner does.
I mean, I just go by the reality of what happened and how people acted. Never mind what they say, because we all know people lie.
Okay, so back to your phones on Agenda Free Friday. Everything being on the table. Here is Robert in Wrentham on the Celtics. Robert!
Hi.
Hi, Robert. You're on the air.
Oh, hey. How you doing?
Good, man.
Good. So I want to talk about the Kyrie, and also I want to talk about Tatum. Tatum, when he played with Kobe, right? Kobe was kind of teaching him that hero ball, that ISO ball.
Yeah.
And I really think it kind of digressed Tatum's play, you know, because it was more about passing and things like that. And then also, I'm getting sick of people hearing Kyrie, right? Kyrie, they keep saying, oh, they're getting used to him. But, I mean, he played with us all year last year besides the playoffs.
Okay,
I mean,
so that's an excuse. If anyone's saying they're still getting used to playing with Kyrie Irving, nonsense. They had the best record in the East last year when he was healthy and playing. So what are you talking about? I mean, I'm not yelling at the caller. I'm saying, are people using that as an excuse?
I mean, I haven't heard that. And if people are, like, I'll take the caller's word for it even. I mean, that's just complete and utter nonsense.
Nonsense.
So the one thing I wonder about with Kyrie is if you get past all this contract stuff, does he turn back into the guy that was here the first year?
It's possible.
Like, and you know, and you clean up some of the roster issues that exist with, you know, too many guys for one ball, et cetera. Does he turn back into the old Kyrie? Or is the damage so bad that it's too far gone?
So here's what I'm saying. And here's what I believe. That he can turn around and have a good day, a good week, a good year. But I think I've come now to understand what he is, which is just this up and down, moody, you know, good God. And so he may turn around, but then next year, watch out. It's always going to be this up and down with him.
And if your best player is that mercurial, then your team's in trouble.
Painful. I was trying not to use that word because I still don't even really know what it means.
What, mercurial?
Yeah, it sounds too nice. You say mercurial?
Moody.
Yeah, but that moody is better because moody, you're a moody F. You're mercurial. It makes it sound like there's some sort of intellect behind it or there's some sort of genius behind it.
Oh, no. See, I think of mercurial as a negative term.
It's not negative enough. It's too fruity of a word to be negative.
Okay, moody.
Moody. Bitchy.
Yeah, I would agree with that. When you use mercurial, it's like, well, he's a tortured genius. Well,
he's an iconoclast. Yeah. Oh, F off. He's
a pain in the ass.
Right. Thank you.
Oh, no. I would call him a tortured soul.
Like mercurial. Makes him sound like, again.
Well, he's erratic. Yeah. It's beyond his control. No, you're a giant pain in the ass to everyone around
Thank
you.
Thank you. You suck.
Pain in the ass.
You suck.
No, I'm going to look it up.
You suck as a dude. If you're mercurial, you suck. You're a pain in my ass.
I want to know the synonyms. A synonym of mad.
Subject to sudden or unpredictable changes of mood or mind.
It's just no.
It's a nice word for moody.
The sounding of the word. It's too. It has too much.
Too melodic.
Yeah. It's.
You're letting the person off the hook.
Exactly.
You use that word.
If you use mercurial, you're letting him off the hook. 100% agree.
We'll have to ask Gasper about this. He's a wordsmith.
His word. Steve in the car on the Bruins goalie situation. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Mike. Hey, I couldn't agree with you wholeheartedly. Cassidy has definitely got it in for Rask. He knows what Rask is all about, and he knows he's a choke. And the goal he was talking about the other night that you referenced against
the last
Tampa,
one.
That was it was the Hedman goal.
Oh.
And watch that on replay. Stamkos shoots to the left post. Rask gets over there in time, and then he gets up like a six-year-old Mike, one knee at a time, leaving the whole left wide open, and Hedman just puts it in. That is the goal that left Cassidy totally speechless. I was at the game. I sit 15 rows behind the bench. He was shaking his head after that goal. That was ridiculous. Watch the replay.
I saw it. I mean, yeah. I thought Rask slid out of the post. I thought he gave up. Like he slid out. He slid out so far that he basically gave up the net and couldn't get back in time. But I'm telling you, Steve, that's Steven Stamkos coming down on a breakaway, man. Like, I don't know. The story to me, whether Rask is at fault in that goal or not, because, you know, we can agree to disagree whether that was his fault or not. What I do know is the coach gave him no break after the game. That I know. Like, a lot of coaches would look at that and go, well, that's Steven Stamkos on a breakaway, and that's Kucherov coming down the wing, and we're leaving Stamkos open in the slot in that game-winning goal with 50 seconds left or whatever. The guy's wide open in the slot. He didn't. The coach said, you know, we could get a save there. So the coach isn't giving him a break. Does he have it in for him? Not quite, but
He's not untouchable.
I think, thank God, Cassie isn't like the writers in town that cover the team and the Tuca defense crew, that Tuca is not untouchable.
Well, and again, the comment that you referenced yesterday that we played earlier in the day, when you listen to that, it feels to me like Cassidy is letting Tuca know ahead of time to make sure he's dialed in at the start of the playoffs or we're pulling you. Like, that feels to me like a challenge to the goalie. That's what it feels like.
We continue with your phone calls on an agenda-free Friday. Murray's update takes 90 seconds. There are no commercials.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21+. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Helpline.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.